from the Holy Gospel is written to us by Luke. Always as we approach the end of the church year, we read one of these accounts of the end of time. It's apocalyptic language. We'll take a little time to try to unpackage it afterwards. But I think you'll see it might be very timely. While some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings, Jesus said, "All that you're looking at, the days will come when there will not be left one stone upon another. It will all come falling down." Then they asked him, "Teacher, when will this happen? And what sign will there be when all these things are about to happen?" He answered, "See that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the one.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified. For such things must happen first, but it will not immediately be the end." And then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, plagues from place to place, and awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky. But before all this happens, they will seize you, they will persecute you, they will hand you over to the synagogues and to prisons, and they will have you led before kings and governors because of me. Remember, you are not to prepare your defense beforehand, for I myself will give you the wisdom you need when you need it, and all your adversaries will be powerless to refute you. You will be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and some of you will even be put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But not a hair of your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will save your souls. This is good news from the Lord." Brothers and sisters, the storyline that you and I, as Americans, are accustomed to is this. And it's the storyline of most novels, most movies you've ever seen. Good guys versus bad guys. We've just lived through it for a whole year, whatever side you took. But in our story, the good guys always win, usually by being clever or usually by violence. And after major trials, the final line of the story is always the same, if it's a good American story. And they lived happily ever after. It's always a happy ending. Americans love happy endings. But I must tell you, this is very different from the much more ancient and traditional biblical storyline, which is called apocalyptic literature. And you just heard it right there. And frankly, we don't understand it. So if you were a little confused, don't be surprised. I was too. Now, here is the apocalyptic storyline. I want you to compare it. The bad guys are almost always in charge in the apocalyptic story. There is every good reason for despair at every level. That's consistent throughout the prophets, the Old Testament, and the New Testament. They don't start with, "and everybody lived happily ever after." The assumption is that the bad guys are running history. Yet, and this is the paradox, our hope is absolute and unqualified. That's apocalyptic literature. It's a completely different approach to history. And in this storyline, our means for getting it is always nonviolent: prayer, trust in God, love even of enemies. Let's be honest. Almost none of us were raised on the biblical storyline. We're much more Americans than we are Christians. Now, this whole storyline is then encapsulated and dramatized in the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. It's perfectly, in one little story, it's the whole apocalyptic storyline. The bad guys are totally in charge. Jesus, the most perfect man, we believe, who ever lived, is killed by church and state and deemed to be unworthy, and yet the Father raises him up on the third day. So this has never been the storyline in all of human history, and yet we keep preaching the gospel. Now here, stay with me. Both storylines are often true, or I'm going to say are always true, in the short run. They go back and forth. There are little stories, and I hope you all are a part of them, where there's good guys versus bad guys, and good guys win, usually by being clever, usually by being violent, and they lived happily ever after. I hope you're living happily ever after. But you've got to know that is not the biblical storyline. And in the short run, once in a while, the other story happens too. The bad guys are almost always in charge. There's every good reason for despair at every level. Yet, if you are a believer, and this is where logic and reason break down and faith comes in to fill the gap, our hope for history is still absolute and unqualified. That's what the symbol of the raising up of Jesus presents. That the final chapter of history, God will win. And justice will win. So the history we live in dances back and forth between the two. Most of us are more comfortable inside the first. The second, frankly, takes too much trust. It's saying that the divine promise and the source of both cosmic and personal hope is that we believe the biblical storyline will finally determine history. But you know, even in the events of this week, how hard that is to believe. No matter what side you're on, doesn't matter. And we have to all ask, is our citizenship in this world, or as Paul says in another letter, our citizenship is elsewhere? Do we live in this big kingdom of God where this is just a passing kingdom, where again and again in either party, according to this narrative, the bad guys are usually in charge? And what you and I have to do, exactly as Jesus did, is learn how to live with hope and joy and freedom, even if and when the so-called bad guys are in charge. So let's put it this way. You have to be prepared for the worst. And that's what the gospel does. Don't expect to live happily ever after. Be prepared, as we say in Christian language, for the cross. Now this looks, if you leave it right there, like pessimism. And certainly the gospel isn't trying to make pessimists or negative people out of you. But it is saying be prepared for things to fall apart. And that's what the whole gospel I just read was saying. Everything, even the temple, Holy Family Church, it's all going to fall apart. Nothing lasts. Let me repeat that. Nothing lasts. That's the biblical message. And if you put your trust in the status quo lasting, and your security lasting, and your safety lasting, you're not trusting in God, you're trusting in what the Psalms call princes and horses and chariots. And again they say, do not put your trust in princes. Do not put your trust in horses. That's their language. Do not put your trust in chariots, but only in the faithfulness of God. So you must be prepared for the worst. It's not to make pessimists. It's to ground you in reality. So you aren't destroyed by hopelessness or depression. But with God's assurance, you can still always, and I mean this sincerely, in the long, big picture, hope for the best. Prepare for the worst and hope for the best. And that's the beautiful combination of realism and optimism inside of which a gospel person must live. I don't think we've trained most Christians in that at all. Most of us, and let's be honest, and certainly the election proved that most Christians are pretty much like everybody else. We're not an alternative. We don't think in an alternative way. We seek our own security. We seek our own good name and the good name of our country. Not necessarily the good name in the world or of the world. And so we see, brothers and sisters, we're all still at the beginnings of conversion, at the early stages of transformation. And yet, the wonderful and consoling message, and I don't know how God does it, but God must be very humble and very patient. And it seems as many backward steps as we make, God never gives up on humanity. And that's the basis of your hope. That's the basis of your optimism. Not any prince, not any horse, not any chariot, not any elected official of either party. And if we put our trust and hope there, you put your hope and your trust in the wrong place. So this is an invitation to all of us to reground our trust in the only place where the Bible ever told us to put it, in the faithfulness of God. Because we cannot trust in the faithfulness of human beings.